From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
The case of Ellen Greenberg, a Philadelphia teacher who was found dead with 20 stab wounds in 2011, has taken a significant turn as the medical examiner who ruled her death a suicide now admits it should be classified as something other than suicide. To think it took all these years to realize, someone who stabs themselves 20 times, including post-mortem stab wounds, so it's this really special one. It's like, you know, Thriller or something, or Night of the Living Dead, where they come back and they start stabbing themselves again. Apparently that's what Philadelphia thinks actually happened, but the examiner, give him 13 years. Yeah, maybe that didn't quite happen that way. For 14 years,
the ghost of Christmas past showed up and said, "Ooh, do better."
I think the ghost of common sense showed up and said, "You're full of shit." Who bribed you, or who pressured you, or who threatened you to say that this is a suicide? Because originally, they did rule it. They were like, yeah, this is a homicide, without a doubt. And then all of a sudden, other people get involved and people, you know, go to the apartment and take things, you know, like digital footprints, devices, everything that could kind of give you some information on maybe what was going on in one's life. That all comes in, it all disappears. Anyway, 14, nothing weird to see here, nothing at all. For 14 years, Greenberg's parents, Josh and Sandy Greenberg, have fought to overturn the controversial ruling, arguing that the forensic evidence points to homicide. How about, facts, reality points to homicide. The latest revelation now comes just days before a civil trial in which they are suing the city of Philadelphia and officials for alleged mishandling of the case and covering up what they believe to be their daughter's murder. Ellen was just 27 years old when she was found inside of her apartment on January 26 of 2011 with multiple stab wounds, including 10 to the back of her head and neck. You know, like you do when you stab yourself, it's suicide. Her fiancé, Sam Goldberg, reported finding her after he returned home and forced open the locked apartment door. Philadelphia medical examiner Marlon Osborne initially ruled the death a homicide based on the severity and number of wounds, you know, like you would. However, the police pushed back on this determination, you know, because they're smarter than medical examiners. Oh, wait, that's not their job. And without public explanation either. Nothing weird there. Osborne reversed his ruling then to suicide. Odd. Now, in a sworn court filing, Osborne has backtracked, stating, "It is my professional opinion Ellen's manner of death should be designated as something other than suicide." He cited new information, including questions about whether her fiancé was seen entering the apartment before calling 911, whether the door was truly forced open, and whether Ellen's body had been moved before authorities arrived. All things that there are a lot of questions to and don't necessarily jive with the official story. The evidence doesn't really add up. But keep in mind, they never really investigated this as a homicide because right away they said, not a homicide. No need, nothing to see here. Everybody, go away, go away. While Ellen's fiancé has never been accused of any sort of wrongdoing, law enforcement and her parents remain convinced. Any wrongdoing by law enforcement. Her parents remain convinced that the case, you know, was in fact something else. It was mishandled. Their attorney, Joe Prodraza, sees Osborne's admission as a major breakthrough. To us, it means that we've accomplished our role, that Ellen did not commit suicide, Prodraza said. Here, you have the original pathologist, finally after 14 years and 5 years of litigation, acknowledging that her manner of death should not be suicide. Does it actually change the manner of death on the books? That's up for debate yet. Probably not quite yet. The Greenbergs have long maintained that forensic evidence disproves suicide, citing medical reports that at least one of Ellen's wounds was inflicted post-mortem, making self-infliction impossible. Despite these findings, the Chester County District Attorney's Office announced last year that it would not pursue criminal charges, stating that there was insufficient evidence to prove a crime beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, stabbing yourself when you're dead. However, because there's no statute of limitations for homicide in Pennsylvania, charges could still be filed in the future. Meanwhile, the Greenbergs are pressing forward in their legal battle and to have Ellen's official cause of death change from suicide to undetermined. A Philadelphia judge ruled Friday that they may take their these three city officials to trial, including Osborne, the former chief medical examiner, Sam Galino, and homicide detective John McNamee for emotional distress related to the alleged cover-up. Jury selection for the trial is set to begin on today, February 3rd. Ellen's father, Joshua Greenberg, remains hopeful, saying, quote, "I'm hoping we're going to prove that Ellen did not commit suicide," quote, "That is what this is all about, justice for Ellen." There's lots of attention that this case has had for quite some time. We've been watching it here, supporters rallying around the Greenbergs' efforts to change Ellen's death ruling and push for a renewed criminal investigation. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court is also set to hear a separate case regarding whether her parents have the legal standing to amend her death certificate. Medical examiner now refuting the original suicide ruling, the Greenbergs see this as a pivotal moment in their years-long quest for justice. Will they succeed? I guess time will tell. There certainly are roadblocks up in this case, and there still are. Just because the medical examiner, who does not work there anymore, it's not like, oh, they said this, now it's changed. It's not. But when you get into a civil case and you have discovery and all that going on, which they've already done now, is now we're about to take this thing to court. We're going to see a lot of interesting things open up. And it's not remotely uncommon for a criminal investigation to end up being rooted in a civil case. I mean, look at Diddy. That's where that all started. So where does this go from here? Well, that's anybody's guess, and what sort of roadblocks I think are in place is going to be the bigger question. We'll just have to wait to find out, as a lot of people from that time are now in different positions, but I don't know, some people seem to have a certain Teflon-ness to them, no matter what.
There, every time this story comes out, whatever iteration of this story, whether the parents are still fighting to get some justice, or somebody says something, or they make an advancement, my mind goes back to, and I'm going to swear here, how the fuck does this happen in the United States of America where something is so obvious, even to the lay person, because I remember, was it 2 years ago, Thanksgiving? I was sitting at our Thanksgiving table, and I think I'd been working with you for about 6 months, and their family members are asking, so what is it you do? And I was explaining stories, and I said, so one of the fascinating stories that we've been following is this Ellen Greenberg case. Mm-hmm. And it's a school teacher who, her death was deemed a suicide, but yet, and I, as I'm telling the story, I pick up a knife and I show the people at the Thanksgiving dinner table that she stabbed herself, and I'm motioning up and down with the knife behind my head.
Like you do at Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. Well, yeah, Thanksgiving. It's a fun time.
Did you take some canned cranberries and like rub them on your body and go, see, this is what.
No, I did not. But I said she allegedly stabbed herself 20 times in the back of the neck. And people at the table, ranging from a lawyer, two dentists, a speech therapist, a physical therapist, a school teacher, all sitting at the table went, what? There's no way that this happened. And I said, it did. And it happened in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And it was deemed a suicide. And just the silence at the table, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. We don't have checks and balances in our system anymore. And that's
apparently not.
That's the problem. Because you can have these situations where people are like, well, money and power, how does that work? This is how it works. Yeah. You get a high-powered attorney in there that ends up going in, literally,
going in
the next day. And the attorney happens to be related to her fiance, takes all the digital evidence out of the apartment. It goes back to investigators. But talk about chain of custody. I mean, that's gone.
Well, and that's not an attorney's job.
No,
to go into a crime scene and sweep it of anything that would implicate. I mean, that's that's not your job. The police should have had control over that apartment until it was clear.
Well,
and it wasn't clear the next day, I can tell you that.
The crux of this is, how did it go from the investigator thinking this is a homicide to, oh, we're going to say it's suicide? What tipped, and how did it tip? Who put their hand on the justice scale and made this completely go haywire? And why? And I do not know the answer to that question. You know, obviously the thing that people look at and have been saying for years is, well, was it the ex-fiance? I don't know. I mean, it certainly doesn't look normal. It certainly looks weird. And typically when things like this happen, the first person you look at is the partner of the murdered victim. That's just how that works. But they never investigated it as a homicide. And that happened almost instantly. So there never was the window to turn this into a homicide crime investigation scene. They just, like, somehow somebody said, it's not. Never mind that. Don't let any other investigators say any of this or see any of this. It's just not. It can't be that. It won't be that. So it's not going to be that, because somebody had that power. I don't know who. And then it wasn't. And then, you know, suicide, she's gone. You know, the medical examiner does their thing, you know, comes to the conclusion she stabbed herself after death and still said it's suicide. So it happens. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And yeah, it's not reality playing on reality's terms. But that's the thing. If you have the power, if you have the influence, if you can do it, you can alter reality, and people will just go along with it because they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be involved in something. Maybe they were influenced. Maybe they were threatened. Maybe there was something of, yeah, well, if you don't turn it to that, then maybe it'd be a shame if this happened. I don't know. I'm not saying that happened. I just don't know. I'm saying it would take quite a bit of power, I would think, to get that sort of thing shifted over when it's so clearly not a suicide. Or it's utter incompetence. I do not know the answer to that question, but it certainly is something that the Greenbergs have been fighting for since she died.
I feel like these parents are owed millions of dollars, and money isn't going to bring back their child. But I think the emotional distress that they've been put through, just, it has to be worth something. They can't bring her back.
I'm Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're doing it for. I don't think they're doing it for money whatsoever. I know they're not. But the thing is, it's what I'd be more concerned of is who did this. Who said, okay, we'll change that? Who went along with all this shit? Those are the people I want to find out about, and they're suing them. Anybody who went along with this little diatribe of, oh, it was a suicide and we're not going to look any further, those people should be removed from their jobs because they are not public servants mm-hmm. anymore. They are following somebody else. And so God knows what else they've been involved in, too. And if we can ever figure that out of what else have they been involved in covering up, because there's so much fucking corruption in that city. It'd be an interesting story. But again, you still have the corruption. You still have people in places in power that have the ability to block things from happening. And if you can just block it and you can't ask any questions and no place of authority can ever get anywhere with it, they win. And they know how to work the system. That's how it's taken this long to get this far, and we still have no guarantee that it's going anywhere. There's no criminal investigation as of yet. The only thing they have going for them on that is the fact that there's no statute of limitations on it. But still, the investigators last year, the fucking DA said, nah, there's not enough proof that there's something. Really? Are you fucking serious? There's nothing? Nothing? Really? Did we even look? No. Here's an interesting piece. Again, I am not saying it was the ex-fiance. I have no freaking idea. I'm just saying, why don't we take a deeper look? Why don't we ask some questions? Why don't we have an investigation? Maybe that person can lead us to maybe someone or something or who or what that did do this if it was in fact not that individual. Again, that person's never been charged with anything. They've moved on. They have their own life elsewhere. So I do not know the answer to that question, but... maybe you can figure out the answer to that question. Let's start by this. Let's listen to the 911 call and see what you think.
Oh, I need everything now. I just walked to my apartment. My fiance's on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come. Help. 4601 Flat Rock Road.
Is this a house or apartment?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's an apartment.
What apartment number?
Please hurry, please.
Where is she bleeding from?
I don't know. I can't tell. She's... No.
So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm looking at her right now. I can't see anything. There's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie!
You don't know where she's bleeding from? Can't see where the blood's coming from?
I think she hit her head. But it's up everywhere. It's everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Philadelphia
Fire Department 842. What's the address?
No, 4601 Flat Rock Road. Please hurry.
4601 Flat Rock.
Yes.
What's wrong?
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now, just on the floor, with blood. She's not responding.
Okay. Is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down, and I need you to look at her chest. It's really...
I really don't think she is.
Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back.
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you what to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her...
Oh, God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone until they get there?
I have to, right?
Jeez, oh my God. Okay.
Anything weird to you about that 911 call yet? There's more. I guess I have to, right?
You know, I'm a former EMT, so my perspective's a little bit different, but I'm picturing him pacing back and forth on the phone and not even tending to her. Like I would have dropped the phone on the floor and hit speaker. And would be like looking at her, like touching her. It sounds like he's just telling a story.
Here's the funny part about this whole thing, and it's not funny, it's disturbing, is when he calls 911, it's as if it's the first time he's seeing her. You notice that at the beginning, it's like, oh my God, I can't, like, he didn't even look. He didn't even check if she was breathing before he called 911.
Yeah.
He just calls 911. And then he's acting as if he's shocked by what he's seeing for the first time.
But he's already been in the, he broke the door down.
He already would have been there. He already would have been in that, oh my God, I've seen what's going on here. And all those stab wounds, you would have figured that out. You would have already known that.
Yeah.
It's not a revelation you're making on the phone with 911. I guess maybe he did. Did he just see her across the room and then called 911? I would think the first thing you would do is go and check if she's okay before you pick up the phone and dial 911 and wait 20 minutes for somebody to show up. How about you go and try to tend to her immediately, not act freaked out in a 911 call where your emotions go from, oh my God, oh my God! Oh, I just was working out downstairs earlier. It's a little weird. Now, again, everybody handles things differently. I'm not saying he killed her. I have no idea. But I am saying it's a little weird, a little suspicious.
It does feel weird that the woman you love and you're engaged to is lying in a pool of blood and you're not next to her. We've all seen Grey's Anatomy or ER or Choose Your Medical Show. You know how to take a fucking pulse.
I guess if I guess I have to. Let's keep
listening. Yeah, let's
keep listening. Here we go.
Okay, so get her flat on her back, bare her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off. Okay? Kneel down by her side.
Oh, my God. Allie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir, because you
okay, I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to. Her shirt won't come off. It's a zipper.
Rip
oh, my
off.
God. She stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell on a knife. Oh, no, her knife.
She fell on a knife. Who the fuck ever says you fell on a knife? Other than someone going, I'm going to say she fell on a knife. Who falls on a knife 20 times?
Well, yeah, that seems like an accidental statement of some sort. I'm not putting any blame, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but something doesn't feel right about she fell on a knife. It feels like an alibi.
Yeah, like immediately and not a very well delivered one. Again,
right.
I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying this is such a bizarre phone call. Why the fuck did no one look into this as being kind of suspicious? There's no evidence. There's nothing that can point us in any direction here in 2024. Really? How about the 911 call? Why don't we take a little look at that? I think there's a lot in there that I think anyone would, I don't know, common sense would go, we should look into this a little bit more. Not saying that you're going to find, like, that person is the killer. That person could just be really fucking weird on how they acted. He could be like Elon Musk. We're just, you know, a bit on the spectrum or something. I have no idea. But some people act in different ways or react different ways that the rest of us don't. And it comes across as suspicious when it's not. It is what it is. But I don't know. Just the fact that there's never been that close of a look at this other than the general public is shocking to me. Let's keep listening after he says, oh, she fell on a knife.
Stick it out.
What?
There's a knife sticking out of her heart.
Oh, she stabbed herself?
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay.
What? There's a knife sticking out of her heart. Oh, so she stabbed it. She fell on it.
So the knife was propped up so that if she fell on it, it would go through her heart. Think of the scenario that would have to take place for a knife lying somewhere and you fall on it and it stabs you perfectly like that and kills you. It would lacerate your skin. You might get cut, but is it going to stab you? That feels very deliberate. As a deliberate statement to me.
Well, I'm just thinking here the sheer amount of blood you'd probably be dealing with as well.
Mm-hmm.
That while he's sitting there and going, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't, like, she's
and I
propped
can't
up.
Get her shirt off?
It's a zipper. Yeah, you can unzip those.
Unzip it.
It's called a fucking zipper. It should be easier for you to take it off then.
Right. I get a stress response. You know, you've got somebody.
Yeah.
Who's potentially dead in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be stressed. But again, why are you not tending to her or shaking her or something? It took him way too long to get to the body.
And are you just in shock? Is it the trauma that's doing this to you? I don't know. Let's continue on with that call.
Okay, well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I'm just about to let her down here now. I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is at her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
Is someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 4601 Flat Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone's on the way. And the knife is still inside?
Which or what?
The knife is still inside of her?
Yes, I didn't take it out.
Was it her chest or what area?
It's in her chest. It's like, it looks like it's right in her heart.
Okay, someone's on the way out there. Okay, just get.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
How old is she?
She's 27.
27, and there's no sign of life at all.
No, please don't be. What?
Bend her under her arm and tell me if she responds to pain.
She's. Ellie!
It's painful to listen to that because it sounds like a bad play. It sounds like someone who doesn't know how to act is doing like
chuckled in there.
Community theater in a real shitty town.
Yeah. I mean, he chuckled a little bit.
There is that.
I, you know, nervous laughter, I've known some people in some really bad situations where they laugh. I mean,
sure.
Our audience may be old enough to remember Mary Tyler Moore laughing at a funeral. I mean, at, you know, at Bozo the Clown or whatever it was when he died or something. People laugh when they're uncomfortable. I get that. But this is a horrific trauma scenario. And I'm just not sure being on 911 with is an appropriate place to chuckle.
That 911 call is such a disturbing phone call. It's just, it's so off. It's so odd. And again, people can be weird and they can come across in different ways in a traumatic situation. That may be all it is. I do not know. I am not accusing him of being the murderer. Until maybe someone who's like in, I don't know, investigative work or like the police or the DA does. Until then, I'm just saying, this is weird. This is really weird.
It is weird. And I want to know, why did a family attorney come in and sweep the apartment? That's weird, too. So when you start adding up the weird, why did that happen? That doesn't happen at other scenes where somebody has died.
No.
A family representative comes in and takes all the electronic devices. What's that about?
Well,
tell us why that happened.
Well, and her engagement ring was on the counter as well. Seeming a little. But I don't know. I just, we do know that there was some mental health issues going on there. And okay. You know,
find somebody who doesn't have that.
Well, yes, but you know, but I'm just saying maybe she was suicidal. And that's okay. Maybe she was. But the fact that she was able to stab herself after being dead.
She's talented.
I don't know how we explain that part. I mean, I don't refute that she was suicidal. Maybe she's in a really, really bad place. Sure. Okay. But how did she stab herself after dying? That to me, it's a hard one, Stacey. It's a hard one to wrap my arms around. Somebody stabbing themselves after death.
It typically doesn't happen. Typically.
Unless we're at the very beginnings of like The Walking Dead starting. I mean, unless she turned into that zombie really quick. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to make fun of her by any means, but I'm pointing out just how fucking absurd this whole thing is. So they basically, according to the medical examiner's reports, who's now said that this is not right, that I don't agree with my original findings, but still on paper, basically Philadelphia is saying she became a zombie and stabbed herself again. And then die.
I would be, very afraid of a zombie outbreak. I mean, they're also opening the door, and I want to point this out too. They're opening the door to, because they said something other than suicide. So that could be accidental death, not just homicide.
Again,
accidental.
You can't accidentally stab yourself after you're dead, unless you're a zombie.
Zombie theory.
I think they're going for a zombie. And I'd love to hear their argument, because that would be quite groundbreaking if she, in fact, did turn into a zombie and stabbed herself again. I just have to go with reality and say, you're full of shit.
In a world where the darkest secrets
lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.